This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now we get to the compilation of the Quran. After the Battle of Ridda, many of those who were known to be, had memorized Quran, were reciting Quran, they died in the Battle of Ridda. And in Bukhari, so a very authentic hadith, Sayyidina Umar tells us that it was his idea for the Quran to be put in a book form. Now, with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how was the Quran preserved in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did Allah give the Quran? Yeah, the whole book. How did he receive the Quran? Question, how did the Prophet receive the Quran? Revelation, right? And we know that there was a question that one person asked him, how do you get wahi? So the Prophet gave examples. Also, he said, sometimes, the angel comes, Jibreel comes to me, and he will come as a man, and he will recite the verses to me, and I would memorize them. Sometimes the verses will sort of automatically get downloaded into the mind of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will be like the ring of bells, it will be very difficult, become heavy. Sometimes, some wahi is direct speech. Allah speaks, no intermediary, Allah speaks to the Nabi, very, very rare. Nabi Musa got this on, by the burning bush by the fire. And the Nabi Sallallahu experienced this once on Mi'raj, where Allah speaks directly to the Nabi. Very, 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 very few people. In fact, besides Nabi Sallallahu and Nabi Musa, we don't know anyone who received direct speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Prophet Sallallahu would receive the verses either through Jibreel in his heart, in his mind, and then what would he do? He would sometimes call those Sahaba who could write, scribes, dictate what I'm telling you, write down what I'm saying to you. But the vast majority, 90%+ of the Sahaba, 99%, couldn't read or write. But many of them learned the Quran. How did they learn it? The Prophet taught them. Like they would say, he taught us this like he taught us the Fatiha. Meaning, like we teach the small children, Alhamdulillah. He taught them orally. And that's how many of the Sahaba had memorized some or all of the Quran. Very few memorized the whole Quran. So when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, what did you have? You had a number of companions who had memorized the Quran, a number of them who memorized parts of the Quran, some surahs here, and a number of them who had the pieces of the Quran written down. They didn't have paper even. So the Prophet would say, call Adnan quickly to write this down. And then tomorrow he'll say, call Buddha Talib, write this down. You know, whoever was close by. So Buddha Talib has maybe 3, 4, 5 surahs. Adnan has 3, 4, 5 different surahs. No one has a complete written Quran in his position. You understand? That is what happened when the Prophet passed away. That was how it was. So now when many of the Khufad had died, Sayyidina Umar said, we need a complete written Quran. Right? Let's collect all these bits and pieces and put it in one set. Not write a new one. We collect these pieces and put it in one book. This was Sayyidina Umar's opinion to Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Now you know Sayyidina Abu Bakr's style. By now, what's his leadership style? Eh? He's by the book. He's very by the book. So would he see this as something like new or strange or something? So that was his view. He said, look, this, how can I do something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do? If this was a good idea, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do it. You know, we should just stick to what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And he didn't do this, so why should we do this? And so Sayyidina Umar was debating. Now Sayyidina Umar is a lot more logical, broad-minded. He thinks of all the angles. And that's why he's very successful as a Khalifa later on. And eventually Sayyidina Umar says, I managed to convince Abu Bakr. So it was the first time, right? It's like 50-0, 51, 50-1. How many debates every time Abu Bakr says, no. On this one, Sayyidina Umar actually convinced Abu Bakr to agree. Let's put the Quran together in a book. Why? Because he was scared. If all the Kuffar die, we're going to have a problem. And then we'll have the same problem like the... You know, subhanAllah, today the Christians, if you look at the Bible, the Catholics have a different Bible to the Protestants. There are surahs, chapters in the Catholic Bible you won't find in the Protestant Bible. You open the Orthodox Bible, there are chapters not in the Catholic Bible. So you have in the Bible, we don't even know who wrote the Bible. We have, for example, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament. They will say, according to Matthew, according to Mark, according to Luke. Why according to? They say, we don't know where we got this from. Allah alam. Who wrote this? We don't know. But the church has decided to put it together. For 300 years, the church didn't have a standard, if you will, Bible. Meaning that Masjid Shafi had their own Quran. Masjid Burano had their own Quran. That was how it was. And in fact, all religions, same with the Hindus, the same with the Jews, it's only this religion where you go to China, same Quran as in Mecca, even as the Ahmadi, subhanAllah. They have a different prophet, but they have the same Quran like us. The Shia, same Quran. No debate as to a second Quran, no second opinion. All four madhahib, same Quran. How did it get to? Because we're unique. No other religion on earth has done this. How was it done? This was Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu doing this. And so this was about a year, less than a year after the death of the Prophet. So very early on, right at the beginning. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said to, how are we going to do this? How are we going to put the Quran together? They looked at the person who they regarded as the most learned man in the Quran, the best hafiz in Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ said, there are four. If you want to learn the Quran, take the Quran from four people. One of Ubay ibn Ka'b, Mu'ad ibn Jabal. One of them was Zayd ibn Thabit. His name is Zayd ibn Thabit. Don't get confused, there's two Zayds. One Zayd is which Zayd? Haritha. What do we know about Zayd ibn Haritha? He was the adopted son of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's the only name mentioned in the Quran. The only Sahabi, no Abu Bakr in the Quran, you have Zayd. That Zayd is not the Zayd we're talking about. The very, very famous Zayd, the son of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, adopted son, he's dead long time ago. He passed. Usama's father. He had passed away in that battle. The Khalid became Khalid Walid, the Saifullah. That battle, Zayd was the first general he died. This is a different Zayd. This Zayd is a young boy. He's about 20, well now he's a young man, 20 years old. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Medina, Zayd was there, and he comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a young boy, 10 years old. They said, his family said, MashaAllah, Ya Rasulullah, this is our son, Zayd. He has already memorized about 17 chapters of the Quran before the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to Medina. The battle of Uhud comes, all the young boys say, we want to fight in the battle. They're all excited. Zayd also comes and says, I want to fight. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Zayd, no, you're too young. Very sad, because he was physically a scrawny guy. But then the Prophet says to him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I want you to be my personal secretary, my PA, we'll call it now EA, my executive secretary, assistant. In fact, Anas is more like a PA. Anas runs around, fetches the switch. Zayd is more as an EA, executive secretary. He takes notes. You know the difference between a PA and an EA, right? So Zayd is the EA of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Young boy, 15, 16, 17. And he also could speak Hebrew. So he said, for his time, he's like very clever. Maybe physically not very strong, but the muscle here, very strong. And he could read and he could write. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Zayd would say, I was the closest of the scribes. There were a few scribes in Medina. I was the closest to the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whenever a new verse came, he called me. And he would write down. So Zayd has a whole collection of Quranic papers, what we call it, in his private collection. Also his half of the Quran. Also what makes Zayd very special, we know that when once every Ramadan, Jibreel would come and would revise the Quran with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So remember how the Quran is revealed in bits and pieces. So now Jibreel will consolidate, we do a revision in Ramadan. Next year, we added a new surah, we do a revision. The last year of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, basically a few months before he died, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jibreel came and did a double revision. He said, we revised the Quran, now let's do a second one. Okay? So this was also a sign for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hey, what's happening? This is something new. Why are we doing a second revision? At that revision, Zayd was, there's some narration, he was present, or immediately after, he revised with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he has the most up-to-date collection, we could say. So Sayyidina Bakr and Sayyidina Umar goes to Zayd and they say to him, we want you to be in charge of compiling the Mushaf. Compiling the Mushaf. The Mushaf is this what we call. We don't call this a Quran, this is a Mushaf. A Mushaf is a compilation, basically. A manuscript, what do you know? في صحف إبراهيم وموسى, in the scriptures of, you know? So a Mushaf is written. Quran is recited. So they said, we want you to put the Quran in a book form called a Mus'haf. Compile it. They didn't say rewrite it, collect it from everyone and put it in one. So Zayd said, Ya Allah, this is like if they asked me to move Mount Uhud, it would have been easier for me than this. This is a big, big job. And he's only 20, 23 years old. But of course they convinced him and he said, you have to do this for the sake of the Ummah. So now, Abu Bakr gives the announcement that, look, if anyone has these Quranic writings, you must present it to Zayd. Zayd is sitting there at the back of the masjid. Go to Zayd, present it to him. You need to provide, and there need to be two witnesses. Now what this means is either you need to have someone else with you to verify that you wrote this in the presence of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you were there and you wrote it down, or that you went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have some Quran here, can I read it to you? And you can check. You need to have a witness for that. So two witnesses for any verse in the Quran. Okay? And then you must present it to Zayd. Now Zayd also is Hafiz and he has his own notes. And so this is how he compiled the Mus'haf. Then a Sahabi by the name of Huzaymah, he brings his note. And no one else was worth to witness. He didn't have a witness. So Huzaymah is the only Sahabi. He had about two verses at the end of Surah Tawbah. At the end of the ninth Surah, there's about two verses where Huzaymah said, I have a copy of Ayat, but he didn't have any witnesses. And some Sahaba or Khufad said, we know this Ayah, but we don't have confirmation. I know it's amazing about Huzaymah. This is amazing. This is surely shows you the Qadr of Allah. Huzaymah has a unique status amongst all the Sahaba. Once the Prophet ﷺ was, he bought a camel from a Bedouin. And so when he paid the Bedouin wasn't Muslim. The Bedouin said, no, you never paid me, I don't have any money. If you have any witnesses, bring your witnesses. Now the Nabi didn't have a witness. So Huzaymah stood up and said, I'm your witness. I was there and I saw it. Now Huzaymah didn't see it. So now the Bedouin said, oh, okay, fine. He was caught, and so he gave the camel to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet said to Huzaymah, how could you witness to something which you weren't present? So Huzaymah said, you the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I believe in you in bigger things than camels. I believe in you in Allah and all these things. So then the Prophet said, now listen to this. He says, as for Huzaymah, Huzaymah's testimony counts double. Meaning, one Huzaymah is equal to two men. Meaning you have a nikah, you either have two brothers, or one brother and two women, or you have one Huzaymah is enough. So Huzaymah is the only, he said, look, I only have me as a witness, but his testimony counts double. It's amazing. It's just amazing how this fits in. So Zayd looked at this ayah and he says, I didn't have it in his own manuscript, he didn't have it there, but it was, he said, I memorized this ayah. Uthman, for example, Uthman said, I memorized this, I know this ayah, it's Quran. So they included it. So now, they included all these bits and pieces into a mushaf. It must have also been a big thing. It had leaves, it had bones, it had all these things. The order, now we understand that there can be no debate as to authenticity. You have written two witnesses, plus you have Zayd's own memory and Zayd's master copy, his own private notes as a check. And there was no one that said, Zayd didn't take mine, I have Mus'haf here, Zayd didn't accept it. You had no one that said, Zayd put something in there which I know is not Quran. There were other Hufad also, like Mu'adh ibn Jabal, like Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, Ubay ibn Ka'b is the most famous Hafid. No one. They debated about who should be the Khalifa. Yes, we heard about that. They debated about what to do with Malik and those who didn't pay Zakat. But not one single Sahabi raised his hand and said, this book that you have here is a problem. Meaning it was unanimous, 100% unanimous. SubhanAllah, the Muslims can't agree on 100% anything. They can't agree when is Ramadan, when is Eid. They only agree that pork is haram. That's the only thing they agree. How much raka'ahs to make, SubhanAllah, make kunut, not kunut. But this whole Muslim ummah agreed in the time of Abu Bakr that this is the Quran, no addition, no subtraction. So now we ask, did the Sahaba apply any of their own ijtihad? Did they mean? So Huzaymah brings 2-3 ayat. Mas'ud brings 5 ayat. Adnan brings 6 ayat. Who decided the order of the ayat? Understand the question here? Was this something the Nabi Sallam decided, or was this something the Sahaba decided? Because if the ayat, now you know, if you were to change the order of certain ayat, you get a different meaning. We know that the Prophet Sallam taught them when they memorized the order, the sequence of the ayat in the surah. I'm talking within Surah Baqarah, there's over 280 ayat. Which ayah comes first, which one comes second? Why doesn't Alif Lam Mim come at the end? Who said so, it must come at the beginning? The Sahaba had no debate. There was no second opinion that this is the order of Surah Baqarah. This is the order of Surah Nisa. This is the surah, you understand? The order of the ayat was agreed. But you might find some Qur'ans that have Surah Baqarah 283, 285. Why do some Qur'ans have more ayat than the others? Why do you think? They disagreed amongst where the ayah stops. Is it one long ayah? Like for example Surah Fatiha. غَيْلِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْلِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالضَّالِينَ. Is it two ayat, one ayah? Is it a pause or two separate ayah? Understand? Doesn't change the meaning. But there was some debate as to, do we stop here? Or is the new ayah? Or what is it? Doesn't change the meaning. They had no debate as to the sequence in the surah. They had no debate in saying, this ayah here, is it part of Surah Ma'idah or Surah Ali Imran? Where does this ayah go? They knew exactly where it goes. They debated as to where the ayah should stop. They also, Sahaba, weren't sure what order to place the surahs. You understand? Some surahs they knew, Al-Fatiha is called Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran. So we know that comes to the beginning. The Prophet said, recite the last three quls at the end. So we know it comes at the end. But some surahs we don't know. Must Surah Ma'idah come first or that surah? So there was some debate. For example, the 8th surah, Surah Anfal, they didn't know where to put it. They didn't know where do we put Surah Anfal. So they put it next to Surah Tawbah because it was similar. Surah Tawbah and Surah Anfal are both about jihad and fighting, so they put them together. But the sequence of the surah does not mess up the meaning of the Quran. Right? Doesn't matter if you recite Surah Baqarah and then you recite Surah Tawbah, and then you recite Qul Wallahu Ahad, and then you recite, doesn't make a difference. So, and the names of the surah also, some of them, the Sahaba gave the names on top of the surah. But what we can conclude from this whole process is that this was an amazing job done by the Sahaba and preserving the Quran in the first manuscript. No religion on earth had a book that was, their religious book was preserved within the first year of the death of their leader. And there was no even ijtihad. The Sahaba didn't even have to put any of their own. Like I said, if it's a big difference, if we said the Sahaba were not sure and they made a decision. If you look at the Bible, 300 years after Nabi Isa, the ulama, the Christians got together. They said, I have Bible here. Another one said, I have this Bible. So they looked at it and they said, like over 2,000 different Gospels. 2,000. They said, we'll take these four only. As for the rest, we're not going to take. What basis? How did you choose? Which one? You can't pass a fatwa like that based on what? Sahaba didn't do any of that. They took it as the Prophet taught them. So now you have this master copy, this book. And who kept this book? Who was given that master copy? Abu Bakr, he's the Khalifa. So he kept it. And when he passed away, he gave it to Sayyidina Umar. Now, interesting, yeah. When we get to Sayyidina Umar, no, before Sayyidina Umar died, there wasn't a clear leader yet. Sayyidina Umar selected a panel, 6. You guys decide. He put a committee. And he didn't want to give the Quran, the Mus'haf, to any of them. Because if he gave it to one, it would count as if, oh, Umar is choosing me. So he said, in the meantime, I give it to my daughter Hafsa. Who's Hafsa? Daughter of Sayyidina Umar and wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she had the Mus'haf. Now, it's interesting side note here. I was doing some research on women's rights. Do you know that up until 1920, not even 100 years ago, it was illegal for sisters to practice law and accounting in England? In England, she couldn't practice accounting. Why? You're not competent enough to deal with numbers and law. That was in England. Here, the Sahaba realized, look, if we're going to give this Quran to someone, the only Mus'haf on earth, they gave it to a lady, Hafsa. And she kept this Mus'haf. And then after Sayyidina Uthman became the Khalifa, it stayed with her. So she had the only Mus'haf on earth. Then in the time of Sayyidina Uthman, the Ummah spread, and it included non-Arabs now. Now before the Arabs, if you didn't, you don't have to learn, read Shakespeare to know if you say, the dog are going to the shop. This is wrong. It doesn't make sense. It's grammatically incorrect. So the Arabs naturally, when they recited the Quran, they knew what sounded right and wrong. But when non-Arabs came, they started reciting all over the place. They don't know the language. So when this started to happen, they complained to Sayyidina Uthman, who was the Khalifa, that look, we need to put the Quran, standardize it. We need to make sure that every center in the world, now the Ummah is spread all the way from North Africa, all the way to the other side of the world, we need to make sure that the Quran they have is standardized. So what he did was, Sayyidina Uthman, he went to Hafsa and he said, can I borrow that master copy that you have? And we're going to make a few replicas. We're going to copy what's in that one. You understand what he did? And who was still alive? Zayd is still alive. The same Zayd is still alive. And so he made Zayd in charge of this operation. And he told Zayd, select a team with you. So Zayd did it alone with Abu Bakr al-Sa'd. Now he said, select a team of six and revise what you did and then make 7-8 copies of this master copy and we will send it to Damascus, to all the major cities in the world, and we'll tell the Muslims, this is the official standard Quran, whatever. And he also said, now it's controversial, he said, if anyone has Quranic papers, burn this. Because we don't know if this is compliant or not compliant. Allah Allah was in there, I don't know. But this thing that we're sending you is 100% authentic. So some of the Quranic manuscripts were burnt. Some people say, ah, why do you get upset when this priest or this person in America wants to burn the Quran? You get so upset. Uthman didn't burn Qurans. He didn't burn Qurans out of respect. How do you get rid of a page of Quran? You burn it or you bury it. So this was too, out of respect it was burned. You want to burn it out of disrespect. It's a difference, big difference, right? So these master copies were sent to every center in the world. And then those were taught, and until alhamdulillah today, we have no debate amongst any madhab, any sect even in Islam, that disputes a single word, dot, sentence with regards to the authenticity of this book. No religion on earth can say that. No religion on earth can say, we had no revision. Nabi Sassam didn't revise or rewrite anything. Quran was perfect. From day one, it is as it was revealed. And what makes this, what makes it amazing is that we have written forms of the Quran going back 50 years after the death of Rasulullah. We have actually those manuscripts still surviving in museums across the world. And if you take that Quran that was that mushaf, and you take this mushaf here, it's identical. No contradiction, not one letter. This is something of the miracles, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are the ones that reveal this Quran, wa inna lahu lahafidun. 5 times in the Quran Allah says, and we will surely preserve it. We will preserve this Quran. You don't have to worry about it, it's gonna be preserved. Till the day of Qiyamah. And he did not allow this for any, look, the Torah, Injil, Allah revealed it. But he did not say that about those books. This one he said, I will preserve it until Qiyamah. It will always be there. To a people who couldn't read or write, to a people who are not from a center of learning, to have preserve this, wallahi, it is only from the decree of Allah. And as us as Muslims, a great blessing that Allah has preserved this, and we have this mushaf. You have full surety. No MJC, no ulama body played and tampered with this Quran. This is purely from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, again, one of the great achievements in Sayyidina Abu Bakr is caliphate. You see how Allah preserved the ummah through him, through Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. How much he did to keep the ummah safe. Walhamdulillah. Any questions? No questions? Inshallah, I will see you in 2 weeks time. 2 weeks. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.